text is two readings from the Gospel of John, the first from the 13th chapter. Simon Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward." Jesus said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times." And now to the 21st chapter, almost the very ending of the Gospel of John. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, Jesus said to him, "Follow me." I've done it. You've done it. We've probably all done it. Once a time or another, we finished a letter to someone we care about, and then added, almost as an afterthought, "P.S., I love you." P.S., I love you. This 21st chapter of the Gospel of John has some features that have puzzled biblical scholars. One is that the previous chapter, chapter 20, I talked about this a couple weeks ago, ended the way we would expect an ancient biographer to conclude. Jesus did many other things in the presence of the disciples which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and believing you may have life in his name. The end of the 20th chapter. And it reads as though it should be the end of the book. We expect the last words to follow this to be, "God bless you, love John." But instead of "God bless you, love John," we're given another 21st chapter in which Jesus has prepared a fish breakfast for his disciples over a charcoal fire, and which ends with his repeated threefold question to Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Most scholars think that John initially did end at the end of chapter 20, and then shortly after it was composed, and before it was circulated, John composed chapter 21 as an authorized second edition to the text, a kind of P.S. I love you story, a P.S. I love you story about Peter and about us. When did we last see Peter in John's gospel? It wasn't in that first gospel lesson that I read where he says, "I will never deny you." It was in chapter 18 in the early morning of Good Friday. There's a charcoal fire there too. They had made a charcoal fire because it was cold. Peter was standing there by the fire and warming himself. And he was asked by a woman, then someone else, and then by one of the high priest's men, "You're not one of this man's disciples, are you?" And Peter was asked three times, and Peter denied it three times. Matthew and Mark tell us that Peter swore as he said, "I am not." Peter's denial of Jesus must have been generally known by Christians in the first century. It's reported in all four Gospels. So there must have been some in the church who said, sure, Jesus called Peter the rock, the chief pastor of the ancient church. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. But by his denial, some must have said, Peter forfeited this responsibility and privilege. Surely this Peter, this denier, can no longer be trusted. So for the church to move forward in unity, and for Peter himself to move forward in discipleship, Peter and the church needed to be assured that Peter had been forgiven and restored. Just as in times of our remorse for sins, when we know we've hurt God, when we know we've hurt someone else, in our Psalm 51 moments when all we can pray is, Lord, have mercy. Notice how carefully John paints the scene. Peter denied Jesus three times at a charcoal fire. And now, just following breakfast at a charcoal fire, Peter gets to affirm his love for Jesus three times, once for each of his denials. Now, most of our personal dialogues with Jesus, most of the confessions we have to include in our daily prayers, are not quite as dire as this one. We began by reading together Psalm 51. And in many of our Bibles, there is preserved an ancient editor's guess about the origin of Psalm 51. Psalm 51 was written by King David, says this ancient guess, when the prophet had come into him after he had gone in to Bathsheba. And you know the story. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for my sin is ever before me. Now, you and I have probably not denied being Christians publicly. Three times in as many minutes saying, I know nothing about Jesus. I don't go to church. Surely, unlike David, we have not arranged to have our friend killed that we might go in and comfort the grieving widow and eventually make her ours. Our sins are usually much less extreme than these. We've hurt someone else. We haven't spoken up when we should have. We've let ourselves down and God down. And most of the time, our prayers of confession don't need to be very drastic. One of the prayers in a Reformed Church worship resource says, forgive us the sins that we know and the sins that we do not know. Yeah, we do things that bother God and hurt other people, and sometimes we don't even know them, so we need to pray that way. But every now and then, our prayer of confession has to be much more intense than that. Here's another one from the same Reformed Church resource. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Is that always our prayer for forgiveness? No, but when we've hurt others, let God down even in less dramatic ways, we sometimes do need to pray, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Now we know that we sort of believe in the forgiveness of sins, even of our own sins. We affirm this every Sunday morning in our prayer of confession in the part we call God's assurance. The worship leader says, believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. And that is the good news. But sometimes knowing we were forgiven, at least knowing it in our minds because we've read the Heidelberg Catechism, doesn't help us when we still carry the burden with us. Doesn't help us when we seem not to let that burden, not to be able to let that burden down. When we carry the burden with us, forgive what our hearts can no longer bear. And when deep within us, it doesn't feel as though we have been renewed. It doesn't feel as though we have been forgiven. How do we know in our hearts that we are forgiven, especially when our hearts have been broken by the knowledge of what we have done? Several important points to notice about Peter's restoration and about ours. The first is that conversation with Peter, Jesus' threefold question and Peter's reply, was for Peter's sake and not for Jesus' sake. It was Jesus who initiated that conversation. I don't think that Peter was asked that question three times because Jesus needed to hear the answer three times. He was asked three times because he knew Peter needed to hear himself say it. I love you. I love you. You know that I love you. And to say it once for each denial, to say it three times. And notice that after each statement by Peter that he loves Jesus, Jesus recalls him to his task of being the rock, the chief pastor of the first century church. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep, do what pastors do. A second thing we might notice, and it's pretty important, I think, is that our remorse doesn't have to be perfect in order for God's forgiveness of us to be perfect. There's a technical issue among scholars, and I'm going to show off a little here, maybe. There are two Greek words in this passage that are translated love. The first is the verb form of the word agape, which you've heard before. It's used in the Greek version of the Old Testament for loving the Lord our God. Agape often refers to the highest self-giving forms of love. And the other Greek word is phileo. It's often a synonym for agape with the same meaning, a high form of love, but sometimes it has a considerably weaker meaning. I like you. You're my friend. And the first time, two times Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? He says, do you agape me? And Peter's reply is, Lord, I phileo you. Jesus' third question is, Peter, do you really? And now Jesus uses the word phileo that Peter had used. Do you really phileo me? And Peter's reply, you know everything. You know that I phileo you. Debate among scholars. Is John's use of agape and phileo simply a matter of literary style with both words meaning essentially the same thing, the high form of love? Or is Peter replying, maybe with his soul still shaken by his earlier denials, Lord, I can't trust myself to say I agape you, but you can be confident that I phileo you. And if that's so, then Jesus' last remark might mean, Peter, you're not up to saying agape right now, but I'll take what you can give me. We'll work on agape love as we go along. Peter's remorse and ours is not a good deed that Peter performed or we perform in order to merit Jesus' forgiveness. We never merit God's forgiving grace. Our response to grace doesn't need to be perfect, even if all we can say at the moment is phileo, for it to be God's grace and for it to accomplish its work in forgiving and restoring us. A third point about the passage is, how do we know that we love the Lord? Even if Peter was still a little uncertain about it. How does Peter come to know that he really loves Jesus? Do you love me? Jesus asks him three times, using slightly different words for each time. The third time, Peter was hurt by the repeated question, maybe by the softening of the verb Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. If you don't know that I love you, Lord, what else can I say? And Jesus' threefold reply was really something like this. Don't just say something. Do something. Take care of my lambs. And then he said twice, follow me. You remember Fiddler on the Roof? We all have listened to the music, or maybe you've seen the play or the movie, where Tevye asks his wife Goldie, do you love me? Remember the scene? Goldie replied, do I love you? For 25 years, I've washed your clothes, cooked your meals, cleaned your house, given you children, milked the cow. If that's not love, what is? Jesus had told the disciples earlier, if you love me, keep my commandments. And that's especially good news for us, because our road to rehabilitation when we've let God down is not by some stunning internal leap of faith or by pumping up subjective emotions that may go away the next day, because emotions are fickle. The way forward is doing what Jesus tells us to do. The story, as I suggested earlier, is about Peter and about us. Do we deny Jesus? Yeah. Three times, at least. Our gospel story tells us that the most serious form of denial is not an intellectual act. It's not having mental doubts about something that the Bible or the creeds tell us. If loving Jesus consists of keeping his commandments, then the most serious form of denial consists of ignoring those commandments. We may but deny Jesus by failing to act in agape love to one another. A new commandment I give to you, said Jesus, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you love one another. We may deny Jesus by failing to do what he told us in Matthew 25. I was hungry, and you didn't give me food to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. And most certainly I tell you, because you did not do this to the least of these, you did not do it to me. Sometimes we deny Jesus by failing to act in love, even to those who don't act that way to us. I say to you, do not resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the left to him also. I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. If you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? Jesus asked Peter three times because Peter needed to hear himself say it three times. I love you, Jesus. I may not be sure at the moment how much I can trust that love, but I'll do it. I'll do what you tell me to do. It was Jesus who initiated Peter's rehabilitation. Peter needed to hear himself say, I love you. Again, like Tevye and Goldie, if I say I love you and say it three times, then I guess I really must love you, Jesus. And if I do, I'll pay attention to your commandments. And if I do that, my whole life will be changed. When Jesus forgives us, we are really forgiven. Our forgiveness does not depend on the quality of our repentance. God restores us that we may renew our discipleship and do what Jesus tells us to do. That prayer of the psalmist, that Psalm 51 prayer, is the prayer that Jesus always answers. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain in me a willing spirit. Jesus, forgive me and renew me. and teach me your ways, that I may follow in your path. And by the way, P.S., I love you, Jesus. Let us pray. Lord, help us to recognize your presence to us in your word. Meet us in the breaking of bread. Forgive us in those dark places where we need forgiveness badly. And at the end, send us on our way rejoicing. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.